A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Amaziah, priest of Bethel, said to Amos, "Off with you, visionary, flee to the land of Judah. There, earn your bread by prophesying, but never again prophesy in Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary and a royal temple." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted to us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions, in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in him as a plan for the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth. In him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we may exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ. In him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the first installment of our inheritance toward redemption as God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. I think that the prophet Amos is a really fascinating character. In that first reading that we just heard, he's basically saying to that priest of Bethel, "Hey, look, I'm not a professional prophet. I'm not part of some polished company of prophets. I'm just a shepherd. I'm just a dresser of sycamore trees. Everything that you see and hear from me, that's all God's work. I didn't ask for this. I didn't volunteer to be the bearer of this difficult message. I'm not cut out for this. But then God called. Then the Lord crashed into his life and said to the prophet Amos, "Go, prophesy to my people." Every man called to the priesthood of Jesus Christ, up and down the centuries, can probably relate in a very deep way to how the prophet Amos must feel here. Almost every priest, when you ask why he decided to first go off to seminary, will say something along these lines. "Look, I didn't ask for this. I'm only here because the Lord burst into my life, into my heart. He called me. I fell in love with God. And so I was compelled by his son Jesus to be open, to explore the priesthood. I felt this mysterious urge, this little nudge, this desire that I couldn't quite understand. I tried my best to resist it. But in the end, I just couldn't. I knew deep down that I had to say yes to him." I know I can certainly speak for myself. I was not a professional religious guy when I first heard God's call. Like Amos, I was in a drastically different state in life. I was a graphic designer. I was an artist. Then the Lord took me and said to me, "Go, prophesy to my people." Now, maybe this will be a little bit surprising to some of you to hear, but it is actually a big mistake to assume that Catholic priests have always been professional church people, as if we picked this path out because we happen to like church stuff, liturgy and chalices and vestments. All that stuff is really cool, but it's actually not why I'm doing this. Perhaps subconsciously, people will put Catholic priests into sort of a worldly box, a sort of pragmatic, utilitarian box. "Oh, isn't that nice that you found a job that's really meaningful to you? Isn't it nice that you just enjoy what you're doing, Father? Oh, that's so nice for you." And yet, now, with one full year of priesthood under my belt, and quite a year it has been, I see more clearly than ever before that this ministry is not just what God called me to do. This is who God called me to be. There's a huge difference in that little change of phrase. God knows who each of you are. And if you are going to say yes to maybe the priesthood or maybe the religious life, or maybe the diaconate, or maybe marriage, or maybe the consecrated single life, if you're going to say yes to any vocation, then the process of discernment can't be centered on questions like, "What am I good at?" or "What do I like doing?" No. Instead, true discernment of God's will has to be founded on questions more like this. Who am I? What does God see when he looks at my heart? What is the mission that I am being invited to take part in? Once you start asking those sorts of questions, you are really getting somewhere in discernment. And St. Paul talks about this in our second reading this weekend. "In him we were also chosen," he says, "destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will." Nothing can be outside of God's will. "So that we might exist for the praise of his glory." That line, that last line is so important, I think. "So that we might exist for God's praise and for his glory." That's why we exist. That is the heart of any vocation. That is the center of any call from the Lord. In other words, your vocation can't just be a profession. It can't just be a job, something that you do. It has to be who you are. It has to be intimately connected to the reason you exist, which is to give praise and glory to God who created you and loved you into being. I think that the tendency will always exist, however, and I see it especially in the priesthood, to start thinking about your vocation, your mission, your calling from the Lord as a series of just tasks to get done. It's what you have to do, a way maybe to earn your bread. Now that is dangerous. And that's what the priest is kind of telling Amos to go do. Go earn your bread somewhere else. Stop bothering us. Can't you do what you're doing somewhere else? Father Federico Suarez, who wrote a book called About Being a Priest, says that this temptation, a temptation that he calls professionalism, can very easily slip in almost unnoticed, he says. And by professionalism, what he means is the tendency to make the service of God and souls into a business, a way of earning a living. Such a priest, he goes on to say, changes from a man with a mission into a paid religious official. Instead of serving the church, he says, he makes the church serve him. What happens to such a person? What happens to such a priest? What are the consequences? Well, Father Suarez minces absolutely no words. Such a man, he says, is like the living corpse of a priest, for he has lost all his enthusiasm and energy, his spirit of faith, and his supernatural view of the church. Yikes! That is insane. Another hero of mine, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, was concerned about the same sort of thing, this temptation to professionalism, when he asked this question: has administration taken precedence over evangelization? Has organization swallowed up shepherding? I sincerely hope not. And that's why I'm preaching this weekend. I am asking you all, the people of God, for your help. The Holy Spirit has not called us, your priests, to be distant religious professionals. He has called us to be your supernatural fathers. You don't need a priest to be a bureaucrat. You don't need him to be a politician, a liability manager, a social worker, a psychiatrist, or a human resources expert. You don't need him to be the consummate professional. You need your priest to be Jesus for you. You need priests who point to Christ and his cross, not to themselves. You need priests who invest large quantities of time in the chapel, praying on their knees for you. You need priests to have that fire of the gospel burning down in their bones, who can't help but let it spill out into their preaching and especially into their lives, who get vulnerable with you, who confess their sins when they fail, not if, who pray the liturgy reverently and by the book. You need priests who don't run away when the wolf comes to devour the flock, who don't revert to politeness or political correctness to save their own skins, who present the full gospel without any sort of ambiguity. You need priests who have a tireless missionary heart, who are never too busy to hear a quick confession or to celebrate Mass, who seek out those wayward souls to invite them into the love and the forgiveness of our God. In short, you do not need professionals who happen to do priest stuff. You need priests who are priests, imperfect men who are all the same desperately in love with God and with his church. And so I implore you, hold us to that. Hold all of your priests to that beautiful, dangerous, adventurous mission. Because here's the truth. If priests are only ever treated like professional religious officials, if we are only sacramental machines, if we are only political representatives of this worldwide organization that we call the Catholic Church, then we will burn out. We will slink away to our offices and our rectories, discouraged and unneeded. We will become lonely and isolated, spiritually dead. We will get weird. So again, I encourage you, please hold us to the radiant beauty of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Now, how can you do that? How can you do that? Well, look no further than this weekend's gospel story. Because just as Christ once sent out those 12 apostles, two by two, into the surrounding villages to be with people in their lives and to call them to repentance, so he sends his priests today. And so, let us in. Don't be like those houses that slam the door on the apostles' faces. Don't make us have to shake the dust off of our feet. And so I give you these three practical ways that you can help your priests to the call to live up to that call that they've already said yes to on their ordination day. So here's the first one. Rely on our prayers. Invite us to offer up sacrifices for real things going on in your real life. Give us mass intentions. Ask us to come and bless stuff. Cardinal Seurat says that priests and bishops are called to be, quote, constantly in the presence of God. Their lives, he says, are supposed to become an unceasing, persevering prayer, a permanent liturgy, he says. So please, call us to prayer and know how much we rely on your prayers for us. Second, here's the second thing. Welcome us into your families. A priest's life, trust me, makes so much more sense in the context of the domestic church, the family home. Have us over for dinner. We are not too busy. We won't judge your cooking skills or your messy house or your loud kids. Really, we just want to be there. And when we are there, please talk to us about stuff that matters, your questions, your struggles, your desires. Don't settle for the small talk about weather or, oh gosh, not politics. We want to go deep with you. As Jesus put it so simply in our gospel today, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. The Holy Spirit, I believe, will inspire countless vocations and conversions in this informal, beautifully human way. That's what the church is supposed to be all about. It's not a business. It's a family. The family of God. All right, third, allow yourself to be exhorted by your priests. Believe it or not, our homilies aren't supposed to be for your entertainment. They are a call to a higher life, the life of Jesus, hopefully. It's the priest's instruction guided by the truth of the gospel that is supposed to call you to be more like our Lord. And if that goes in one ear and out the other, then what are we doing here? If you pick and choose which teachings you'll buy into, if you don't let the word of God penetrate and convict you, if none of this challenges you to pursue Christ and let him pursue you in a more radical way, then I'm afraid to break it to you, but we are all wasting our time. This priestly ministry is a gift, not for ourselves, not for me, not for Father Kevin. It's a gift, yes, but primarily it is a gift for you, for the entire church, and by extension, the entire world. As Fulton Sheen said so well, the priest is not his own. So receive that gift. Receive the priesthood Jesus has established in his church. Forgive us for all of the scandals and the ways that we have betrayed your trust and maybe built up walls, maybe presented ourselves as just professionals. But don't forget, Jesus is still sending his apostles out into the world, into neighborhoods, into communities, into parishes, into your family dinner tables. So let us in. Call us up higher. Don't let us become professional religious guys earning our bread safely. Allow us to truly be your fathers, your shepherds, your priests.